Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Today is the Q&A that followed the message on James 3, 2 through 10, and there were five questions. Number one, are the potential to do good with your tongue and the potential to do evil with your tongue equal, or is one stronger than the other? Number two, how should you handle it if somebody comes to you with a prayer request about someone else's sin? Number three, what if an unbeliever comes to you with some gossip? Number four, if we will be judged even for every careless word, wouldn't everyone be condemned? And number five, is it even possible to bridle the tongue?
Okay, so the potential to do evil with your tongue and the potential to do good with your tongue, are they equal? And I would say, no, I don't think so. I think the potential to do good outweighs the potential for evil. Because the good that you can do with your tongue is you can glorify God. And I think that outweighs the evil. But the thing that James wants to deal with is the same tongue, glorifying and cursing, that's a problem. And that's what he's going to deal with next week. Next week we'll talk about that in some detail. And you can ruin the good stuff with the bad stuff. And the bottom line is, that's why we need to repent of the bad stuff. Okay, so suppose somebody comes to you with a prayer request about someone else's sin, and they're concerned about the person. How do you handle that? What's the proper way to handle that? That's a great question. I should have included it in the sermon. But if I did, I'd still be preaching. The important thing to realize is this. When somebody comes to you and they describe someone else's sin, very first thing, as soon as you understand what's happening, as soon as you get it, and it's like, okay, they're talking about somebody's sin, as soon as that registers in your mind, you stop them. You say, wait. Have you talked to that person? Well, no, I wanted to pray first. Talk to the person. Go talk. I can't talk to them. They intimidate me. They won't listen. They won't. Talk to the person. The Bible says to do it, you can do it. If the Bible says to do it, don't say, oh, I can't do it, and therefore I'm going to disobey. Go talk to the person. And when you do, do what Matthew 18 says. Show them their fault from the Scriptures. You open the Scriptures and you say, see, it's wrong because of this. This is why what you're doing is wrong. It's sinful. See this? And bring them to repentance. Try to get them to repent. If they won't repent then you come and bring one or two, and the two or three of you, that little group, will try to get them to repent. And if they still won't repent, and the witnesses agree, yeah, this person's in sin, and yeah, they're unrepentant, then you bring it before others, bring it to the church. Just explain that to people. We need to teach each other that again and again and again and again, because we all know it, but we all forget it, right? And so we just have to keep reminding. And as soon as we just naturally start talking about people's sin, it's like, wait a minute. Did you talk to them? Okay. I don't have ears to hear this. Believe me, you don't have to do that to somebody very many times before they'll stop coming to you with gossip. They'll either start doing it right or they'll go to someone else with their gossip. But it's embarrassing to go to someone with gossip and then they respond that way, you know. And we're not trying to embarrass people. But we are trying to follow God's word. Well, thanks, Ben. I appreciate that. And what he said was that I said that it's not going to be an encouraging sermon, and yet he finds that when it's a convicting sermon is an encouraging sermon. And I've found the same thing with me. I remember before we started this church and we were attending, you know, trying to find a church to attend, and we went to a few different ones, and the one we landed on was one where I sat down and I was convicted the whole message. And I went up to the pastor afterwards. I said, this is the first time I felt convicted in a long time. Shook his hand, you know, and thanked him. So I feel that. Because what do we want to do? We want to grow, right? And you don't grow by always looking at your strengths. You grow by finding out what needs to be repented of. Okay, so what if you're at work? It's a little bit different situation than a church. Or you're dealing with an unbeliever. Then how do you handle it? That's a little harder. And I would just say, anytime you're talking to an unbeliever, what your goal is to move towards the gospel, right? The main concern isn't for them to alter their behavior. The main concern for them is to be saved, to realize they need to be saved. So what I would do is, I think one of the best ways to expose sinful speech in the workplace is with righteous speech. Jesus said, let your light shine among men so that they'll see your good deeds and glorify your Father. And so someone starts gossiping at work, And they start ragging on the manager, the boss. They say, oh, he's unreasonable. He's blah, blah, blah. And every time that starts happening, if you just say, you know, honestly, I'm thankful for our boss. I'm thankful to have a job. I'm glad, and his work is not easy work. I wouldn't want to have that responsibility. I've been in places of responsibility before, and everyone talked about me that way too, because as hard as I try to do it my best, I could. And you just say positive things. You're just a plus person instead of a minus person all the time. You're always building them up, and that will sting some. You don't, again, the goal isn't to humiliate them, but it's inevitable. When you start gossiping, and then someone else does the right thing, and they start speaking positively and building the person up, you sit there and you're thinking, that's what I should be doing. And I think if we can set that example and they can see that righteousness in us, they can be convicted of their sins, which could lead them to repentance and their need for Christ. And they'll glorify the God that put that in your heart to talk that way. What he said is, it seems like if I say a careless word, I'm going to be condemned for it. I should be perfect in my speech, otherwise I'm condemned. And it's almost the way James is going to make it sound, like a salt spring cannot produce fresh water. Well, salt water's come out of my mouth, out of this spring. I've cursed men. Therefore, what? My praise is invalid? I'm doomed? Is everybody condemned by this? James even says we all, including himself, sin, stumble in many ways. And yet, he can talk about people being justified. Abraham and Rahab, who sinned with their speech. And yet we're justified. How is that? And the answer is, again, it's a long answer, but the brief answer is, if you are repentant, then when God looks at that, at your life, he does not see you as being characterized by that sin. All liars, Revelation says, all liars go to hell. All liars. So does that mean you go to hell if you've told a lie? No, because you're not a liar unless you're an unrepentant liar. You're not a blasphemer unless you're an unrepentant blasphemer. You're not a curser of men unless you're an unrepentant curser of men. And so those words that we speak that are sinful as Christians, we speak them, then we repent, and we're forgiven, and we're cleansed, and we're pure in God's sight. And we're not characterized in his eyes by those sins. If we're repentant in general, if you have a lifestyle of repentance, if we're confessing our sins, 1 John 1:9, he'll cleanse us from everything. And James has a section in chapter 4 about repentance and humbling yourself before God. And so we'll talk about all that next time. But yeah, don't think that your salvation is in jeopardy or question every time you stumble with your mouth. If you see that as sin and you turn from that sin back to God when you see it, that's a mark of a regenerate, saved, forgiven heart. And you can have confidence in that. So the question isn't, is there any evidences of stumbling? The question is there any evidences of faith? Like we saw with Abraham and Rahab. No, the tongue can be brought under control. I think the more mature you become as a believer, the more of a bridle you can put on your tongue and on your whole life. Yep. I did want to clarify one thing. There was something that I said a couple of weeks ago about when I was talking about Rahab and her sending spies in a different direction and all that. And I was talking about deception. And the question came up about Jesus. Would he do what she did? And I said, yes, she's commended in Scripture, and so it's godly, and so Jesus would do it. I didn't mean to imply that Jesus would ever sin in any way. So just in case that came across wrong, please let me correct that and just say, Jesus would never, ever sin, and never did sin, never could sin in any way.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.